I prompted you this morning with a question. What is prayer? How would you define prayer? Anyone come up with a nice, quick, pithy, witty answer on this of greatest of questions? What is prayer? Elaine, you got it figured out? Talking to God. All right, there you go. All right. All right, talking to God, private conversation with God. What else? What did you come up with? What do you think? Someone to ask you, what is prayer? You say,
well, the quick answer would be standing in the gap for somebody else.
Okay, standing in the gap for somebody else. Okay. So Jason buying lemonade is prayer.
It could have been if the young lady had sat down and meditated for time and a piece of mind.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There
it's not a straightforward question to answer sometimes.
Sometimes. What is prayer? How can you capture all the facets of? What if you can't talk? You ever have prayer and it's not talking? You can't talk? Yeah, right. Elaine's moving us down the right path, but I don't know we're quite the whole way yet because sometimes you just can't even talk. Does that count as prayer? When your toddler child, infant child is talking to you, but they're not using words, that they're still communicating, right? What is prayer?
Direct communication.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm.
Whether it be in your thought, your heart, or I mean, he knows everything. Mm-hmm. He knows. Mm-hmm. Even if you can't talk, there's what you're thinking. Sometimes you're still so down you can't even say words. So
right. Yeah.
Ask the Holy Spirit to intervene.
Groanings. Yep. Are there different types of prayer? What might be some of those broader categories that we would say this is an extension of prayer? Type of prayer. Praise. Okay. Yeah. What else? Feeling? Appealing? Wow. It's not a word you use a lot, is it? Appealing. Well, you might be. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, right? Yeah, those are good ones. Those are good ones. Again, supplicate, not a word that you use a lot. I have my morning supplications. It kind of sounds like you did something that you shouldn't be talking about. In Psalm 62, verse 8, we get this phrase, pouring our hearts out before the Lord. Pouring our hearts out before the Lord. If you're in our foundations class, our catechism program here, we teach this very thing. We have them learn, memorize what is prayer. Prayer is pouring your hearts out to God in praise, petition, confession, thanksgiving. There will be a test. Thanksgiving. Or you could say acts if you like those words better. It's pouring our hearts out to God in praise, petition, confession, and thanksgiving. That's Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in the Lord, pour your hearts out before him. Why might we like that phrase, pouring our heart out to God? How does that maybe get us a little bit closer to the bullseye? Yeah. The prayer is a heart thing. It's a heart thing. I can sing lots of songs with my head. I can sing lots of songs in my head on Sunday morning, and it never makes it anywhere near the bullseye prayer. Because it's just, I'm going through the motions, right? but prayer is a heart thing. Because God is spirit. When we think of heart, we're not talking about this cardiovascular muscle that keeps contracting inside of your chest. We're talking about that center of your being where our spirit connects with his spirit, who is God. Pouring out our heart. This offering over. Not bound to words or sounds or a particular formula, is it? Those of us who've been doing this for a while. Now, I'm going to give you some formula. I'm going to give you some structure over the next month and a half, some shape to things. Your body has a framework so that important things have a place to hang, an important place to go. We call it your skeletal system. And we're going to, Jesus gave us a skeletal system. He certainly did not intend for that to be the all end all when it comes to prayer by any means. But especially for those who are beginning in prayer, and if you didn't know that, you're only ever a beginner when it comes to prayer. This is a great way to kind of have things hung in the right place. Pouring out our hearts to God in praise. What is praise? Cookies on the bottom shelf. What's praise?
Adoration.
Just took it up a couple shelves. Down on the bottom. I'm a bottom shelf kind of guy. Yeah, to adore God, to recognize his goodness, his greatness. There is nothing of me in the praise. It is all about who he is. Recognizing that, singing that, praising that, pouring out that. God, you are great. God, you are good. God, you are in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Yeah, praise. That's important. It's important to start. The Lord's Prayer starts there. The Lord's Prayer starts with praise. Yeah. Praise, petition, supplicate, to appeal, to intercede, asking for stuff. Right? He likes it when you ask because he likes to give. What good father does not love to give good gifts to the one he loves? How much more so your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Yeah, asking. I always struggle with that one. I grew up with a dad who just kind of taught me, don't ask. I know what you need. Don't ask. And so that really kind of overflowed into my prayer life. It's really the hardest thing in the world for me to ask. Yeah, should ask. Petition. Confession. What's confession, Mr. Brown? Goodness. Yep, I messed up by what I've done or what I've left undone. I've not loved you with my whole heart. I've not loved my neighbor as myself. I'm truly sorry, and I humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me and forgive me, that I might delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. We're going to find that that should be a daily rhythm. Confession should be a daily rhythm for you. If you didn't know it, you're a hot mess, okay? As is everybody else. And so coming before God on a regular basis, the same we ask for daily bread, we ask for daily forgiveness. Yeah, God, I confess. There are things that I did today that I shouldn't have done. There are things I shouldn't have said. There's a way I shouldn't have said them. Or God, there were things that I should have done and I didn't do them at all. I know I should have talked to her. I know I should have called that person. I know I should have engaged. And God, I didn't. I was selfish. I was self-centered. I had other things to do in my empire building. Yeah, confession. And then Thanksgiving. Oh, what a great gift. Thanksgiving is such an amazing gift, especially if you find yourself in the trenches. To get attention off of yourself and to anchor yourself in the goodness that God has manifested in your life. God, thank you for a loving spouse. God, thank you for a warm day. God, thank you for friends. Like I said, I was gathering with these students who went to Tar Hollow, and before we ate the pizza, I did not eat the pizza, before I watched them eat pizza. All right, everyone go around the circle. What are you thankful for? I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for Tar Hollow. I'm thankful that I get to hang out with my friends and do these things, this home team that God is building in our student ministry. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. If you were to come into my office and start complaining about everything, I would probably say, all right, let's start being thankful for something. What are we thankful for? What are you thankful for? Pouring out our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession, and thanksgiving. Depending on where you are, and give them part of your day and give them part of your rhythm. It might be praise. It might be confession. It might be thanksgiving. But to grow in a habit of prayer, which is really what we're going to talk about for the next season as we move into this next module. Anyone here think that prayer is not important? I don't have to like make a case for how important prayer is, right? Is that like a new information for you? I really have no idea. Most of us, if I say, hey, is prayer important? Yep, prayer is important. How many of here want to be good and better in their prayer life? Yep, we all want to be better in their prayer life. How many of here think that they have some area to grow? Yep, got some area to grow. What we want to do is make sure, to the best of our capacity, you have a daily habit and rhythm of prayer, like Jesus did. You might already have that. I'm probably going to say most of the things I'm going to say you've heard before. You've heard a whole sermon series on it. You've maybe sat and done some of these things with me already. Great. Awesome. You are even more ready then to help catapult somebody else into a life of prayer. Or this might be cookies on the bottom shelf, brand new for you. Either way, I think it should be very helpful. Because we're talking about a daily habit and rhythm of prayer. Why daily habit? Why is that so important? What are some things that you do on a daily basis that are important?
Well, you feed yourself.
You feed yourself? Yeah. Yep. That's important.
Prayer would be
a metaphor of that, right? Yeah. Very similar. I'm feeding my body. A healthy prayer life nourishes the soul. In fact, when we teach our foundations class, we call that module Life in Jesus, because it is life. It is life. Jesus did it on a daily basis. He modeled it. He showed them how to do it. So everyone needs a new hexagon sheet. Can someone help pass all those out, please? And you can just fold it in half if you want to stick it in your binder. Thank you for not licking it. You know, we're not licking any. No licking.
How frustrating the produce bags are in the grocery, but you got to use the vegetables to get them apart. My mom, she goes, and it goes, I'm like, Mom, don't do that anymore. You use the mist.
When it comes to prayer and developing a model of prayer, you okay, JJ?
No, not yet. You good?
All right, good. Jesus, on multiple occasions, would teach a structure for prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, Luke chapter 11, there are words that he gives us. And those prayers are very, very similar, but they're not identical. What might we conclude about that? Gospel writers were wrong. Luke made a mistake, got a little better in your shorthand.
It's not a defined worship practice here. This is all the way you can do it.
Yeah, yeah. We're not talking about a magic formula. We are talking about a structure. We're talking about a framework. It's about a trellis. Trellis on the long side of a house that helps the roses grow. Okay? If we look specifically how Luke starts it, and this is in the top of your page, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 2. This is the preface to the actual praying. Okay? On the top of that page. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Notice not teach us how to pray. Teach us to do the praying thing. As John taught his disciples, which John is that? John the Baptizer, yeah, yeah. And he said to them, when you pray, repeat. Okay, so let's just unpack that preface right there. So Jesus was praying. One of his disciples comes up to him and says, hey, teach us to do that. Teach us to do that. What can we infer from that exchange? If a disciple's coming up and asking, teach me to do that, it must have been pretty obvious that Jesus prayed all the time, right? It was his life. It was his rhythm. If we are going to be disciples that help other people follow Jesus, then we want to labor and work at the prayer thing such that if people are watching our life at any given time, they will be able to conclude, oh, prayer's a big deal. If I'm going to follow Jesus, like my big brother, my big sister over there follows Jesus, I need to be praying. I need to be praying. Would your people conclude that? They might conclude that there are a lot of things that are important to us, right? If they watched us, if they had the secret nanny cam that followed us